one of y'all gonna wake up and start acting like what you think you are.
Peace.
Man, I'm glad I kicked that drink shit.
This is the Views from the 7 podcast.
I just wrote down Koval, Pass Flamingo on the way.
Sleepwalking, keep talking and meat coughing.
Bonus.
For years it was only me that used to feed flossing them. Sucker tried to shoot me in my back, but me's off them. Sometimes we used to slide in rentals and leave walking. But now I'm her MCM, never wore MCM. Marty capping Martin, so I'm still rapping MCM.
R.I.P.
Chain changing colors like it's EDM. If he ain't day one, then I'm probably in his BDM. And I ain't trying to look through.
How y'all feeling?
I'm colorblind. Hit her with four fingers when she asked me what's my sign. I'm probably on her thoughts, but she not in mine. And even if you ballin', ain't no passes if you dropping dimes. SK, should we shoot to the next day? Block day, it's really shoot you in your head day. Shoot you in your chest, your stomach, and your arm. And oh yeah, I won't forget leg day. Niggas know I'm squad 40, I was 14 with four homicidal stories.
That's what's missing, man. Ain't no soul in you niggas' music, man.
Look, they say the strip shut down. We gotta hustle now. Just tell us where the trees and we gon' cut them.
Ivan, Skinny, what up?
What up with
it? On my page, like we fuck around, little bitch, you foul. That's why you wanna give me your number now. Yeah, you bros, but you too loud. My nigga, dumb it down. Knowing you only fucking with me when I come around. I can't believe you act like you ain't hear my stomach growl. You got that Kevin Hart, that's why you acting
funny now.
I'ma fix my nigga's credit, then I'ma give him 100,000. When it's raining, it's hard to tell when tears coming down. I remember thinking, Cap, get up, boy, you can't stumble now. Last time I seen him, he had two, that shit still
peace to Cap, man.
When I lost Granny, I'm like, damn it, who gon' love me now? Who could I talk to about flaws without judging now? I know some lazy niggas with a gun to run you down. Never seen a treadmill, but they
quit. Hey, man, I'm giving y'all niggas too much, man. Hey, man, go check out, man, my brother, the landlord. Peace, y'all. This is the Views from the 7 podcast. This shit got Spence. I'm joined with my homeboys. Ivan.
What's good?
Skinny.
Yeah.
And I got my man in here, man. It's been a long time. A very, very long time since I done seen this brother. Man. When it comes to the city, man, everybody, man, holds him near and dear to the heart, man. Without further ado, man, my brother, landlord, what's happening?
Man, what's popping?
What's going on, man?
Man, I'm chilling.
How you
what's
been?
Good, man, I've been great, man. How you been?
Man, I've been all right, man. Fellas, what's up?
What's good, man?
And I got to check your temperature now, though.
What up?
I got to check your temperature, though, man. Yeah, you got to give me the ice. I forgot. I got to check some temperature in here, man.
Mm.
You still fuck with Wayne, man? How your Wayne IQ, man?
I fuck with
how
Wayne.
Your Wayne IQ?
My shit on 100. Let's go.
You give me a verse? You think you give me a verse?
I don't know about it.
You think you give me a verse? Look.
Put some on. Put some on.
Let me see.
Oh, me. Put some on.
Let me see. You gotta give me a minute.
This my shit.
You know it?
Pretty much. It's too easy. You ain't even go back far enough.
Give me a minute.
For me?
Yeah, go ahead.
To survive is kill. If the elements don't murder me, the ride is real. For real.
I play dog in the hoodie. And you got them playing dodgeball with bullets.
Okay.
Now for me and the
John right now.
You fumbling.
You know this ain't my genre, nigga. But I take on, nigga.
Your 2K dribbling like that right
but
now.
But I take on. You know that's my lane.
Then if the head dies, spot him. Then the hollow head got him. Knock his top to his bottom. Yeah. From the bottom just to make it out the bottom.
2K level going down, baby. Bottom.
Runners everywhere you at. You gotta keep an extra condom and an extra gap.
For acting like a man and niggas in Pakistan still packing like your man though.
Alright, man. Look. Hey, I had to check it, man. You know, the last time, one of the last times I was with you was, I forgot what kind of car you had. It was a green joint though. Remember when this first came on? It was called when back in the Bear Share days. LimeWire and shit. It was called I Got It.
Yeah. That was the original name of the track?
Yeah. And that was the first time.
Was it? That was the original track name?
Mm-hmm. Before it was, you know, not that we pirating anything, you know what I'm saying? We buy all our music. But, yeah, that was the first, man, when we, you know, we was riding, you had a green car.
The Cavalier.
Yeah, man. Little TVs in the back and shit. That was the first time, man. We was on our way to staff practice and shit, man.
With the porn on? You had the porn on TV?
Nah, we weren't playing up.
I've never seen a nigga with TVs in his car I didn't have on porn. I ain't never seen a nigga watch a regular movie with TVs in his car. Never.
Hell
no.
Freak.
Niggas from over.
Niggas that wear thongs and.
Niggas that ride around with TVs and porn on.
Nobody does that.
I don't know niggas with TVs in their car, but all the niggas I did know with TVs in their car always had porn on. And it's like, it's a group of you niggas standing here, and all y'all dick hard. I'm going to go back inside, because this ain't.
Oh, that's crazy that you know niggas like that.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Stop me.
That's deep.
They didn't come to my house with it, but you know, you see niggas out. I'm like, you got TVs in your car.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, man, talk to us, man. What's been going on with the landlord, man? We're gonna do some rewinding before we get to the present, man.
Man, shit, I just been chilling, bro. Working on music, trying to do as many visuals as I can, keeping my life in perspective, just trying to keep everything balanced and try to be normal, shit, as normal as I can.
Now I told everybody I was gonna hold this story and shit, right? So. Yeah, don't judge me, because I didn't know you yet.
Go ahead.
Where we at?
Like, I held this shit all through high school.
Where we at?
So my first Black Planet page.
Okay.
On Black Planet, I was that nigga.
Oh, yeah. He was catfishing.
He was catfishing as a landlord?
I didn't know yet. Come on, nah, don't judge me. Now, see? Don't judge me. Do not judge me. And if I'm lying, I'm dying, Lord, strike me down.
Hey, man.
How did that work out for you though? Like,
I pulled a chick.
And she seen you and was still like.
If I'm lying, I'm dying.
What happened?
If I'm lying, I'm dying. What? So I start hollering at this chick, right?
And you had to
play. I didn't know. It was just, nigga, I didn't know.
This nigga that had long hair for a long
time. See, I'm trying to explain, but it sounds so fucking bad. I don't
even. Yeah, there's no way. Just go ahead and get it out.
So I just came across, you know what I'm saying? I came across some shit. I ain't know, nigga. It's my first time, nigga. You know what I'm saying? I'm not putting my real self out there.
Wait, before you continue with the story, where did you get a picture of him from to put on your page?
Shit, I think, I don't know.
You went on his Black Panther page and was like.
He had Black Panther page.
That's what your thought process was?
So, I had my page and shit, right? I had my page. Hey, Bobby.
I'm getting the bitches.
So, I get, nigga, at this time, nigga, did the party. We had the party line. The party line in Black Panic was there. Was where it was at.
Okay.
Yeah, nigga, I got braids. Green eyes, nigga.
This is where you had the tongue ring, too.
Come on, man. So.
Yo, this is
pulled.
A lot going on.
I pulled a T.
T,
nigga.
The only T I could think of.
The only T that you know.
Okay.
That was the first time I seen her and shit. And she was like, we both was like. Because this is when T had the boozy fade. So we both was like, you ain't who I thought you was.
So you pulled up to it and she had a boozy fade.
She was reading in my class. This was like 8th grade.
Keep going. This story is getting.
No, I ain't. That's it. I ain't. See, because it sounds too bad. I ain't doing it. So.
Because you didn't answer my question. Like, what's the thought process?
Ain't no answer. I was just giving perspective.
If I convince bitches I look like this, like, I can pull them all. Like, what's the thought process?
End up being on the same Same Step Team and some other shit. You never told the man, hey, bro.
Well, I held that shit like a motherfucking nigga. That's some shit you don't. That's some shit you don't. That's some shit you. You know what I'm saying? We older now, shit. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
They'd never be like, hey, man, I need you to send me this picture because she's looking for another.
No,
because like in real life, I've only heard a story similar to this once. And it was a Facebook situation where a nigga was like, "Yeah, I don't send bitches my real dick."
What's up with you and all these dick stories, man?
he know what I'm referring to. A nigga was like, "If a chick want a nude, I Googled other niggas' dicks. I Googled other niggas' dicks and send it to him." We was like, "Fam, fam." So this is like literally the only other time I've heard a male say something similar.
This ain't that. Yeah, this ain't that. Come on, man.
Ain't no
I wouldn't do it all that. That's some wild shit right there. You know what I'm saying? My shit ain't dick pickable anyway. So, bitch, you asked out if you asking for that, bitch. You ain't even.
Oh, my God.
Y'all is wild.
Relationship over, you get that far, bitch. You ain't get that. But we got your brother in the building, man.
I thought it was going to be another experience for you.
Yeah, it's good. What's up?
That's wild, good. Man.
So. God damn, man. Fuck y'all, man. So we was on the step team, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to the M5.
Shout out. We had the brother Grease and SO on a couple weeks ago, and we was talking about our days during the M5s and shit. So we won that year too, nigga. Just want to put that out there, you feel me? Everything.
We tried. We didn't get there. We tried though.
So I ain't know you was rapping yet. You know what I'm saying? We used to listen to Wayne and shit. I ain't know you was bar niggas yet.
I really wasn't rapping like that then. I wasn't even fucking around like that in high school.
So when did it become?
It was after high school, you know, when niggas start trying to figure out who they is and what they gonna do for the rest of their life type shit. That was just something I chose.
I seen you talk about like you went to Seattle first and then
Seattle. Well, really, I just wanted to change locations, but out there, I was just still trying to reset my life and figure shit out. And then when I came back from there, I was on some rap shit.
Okay.
How was Seattle? Like, how was your experience out there?
Man, it was. I just had never lived out of Las Vegas, so shit. It was cool. I loved it. I still kind of I hold it dear to my heart lightweight just because that was my first spot leaving after Vegas. Like, after all the rah-rah, I went there, and it was just a change of scenery, and everything just felt peaceful for me.
I went to school in the Pacific Northwest, too. I got a few years after high school.
Nigga, what? This ain't the NBA, nigga. Give a state.
Nigga, I went to Oregon.
There you go.
I went to Oregon, Pacific Northwest. A few hours from Seattle, but like I've never had a good time in Seattle.
Man, like I said, it was just I was seeing some different shit. I was new to a city. I didn't even matter. I used to go to the mall and be like, oh, it's cracking today. Just because I was.
It's home of the light skins, man. It's home of the light skins. Oh my God, Portland and Seattle, home of the light skins. I love
them up there. And they got it. It was like I said, it was just different, something new to me for sure. Okay.
So I'm with the light skin. So
that's why I love light skins. I was at a ball. Oh, nigga, we was out there.
Light skin women.
Yeah.
I thought it was white girls out there though.
Light skin. All the niggas up there fucking on the white women. They reproducing light skin. I love it. Oh my God.
There's many baths out there.
It's baths. I mean.
I don't want to sound
colorful.
You was lighter then, though.
I was, and that was probably 100.
He was what?
Phew.
I was lighter.
I was light skinned. I was light skinned too.
I was light skinned.
I feel you. No, man.
Not like your light skin, though, but.
Nigga, I'm not light skinned. Nigga, I'm
black. On Black Planet, you was.
Hey, fuck you. No, you know, this from my experience, you know what I'm saying? Because you got dark, and then you got caramel, and then you got light skin.
Yeah.
My light skin queens don't.
You about to say something blasphemous. Go ahead, man.
My light skin queens don't like to, you know, they act like they're allergic to water sometimes.
Don't like to bathe?
Mm. I mean.
That's wild. That's wild. Why would you say that?
Yeah, they gonna
get your, so in your experience, they don't.
My experience, it was, you know, you go down there and you
funky bunch.
They all took baths when I was around. I can't I can't speak for that bad experience. And let me not. I don't want y'all slandering me. I love all black women.
Yeah,
all
that's what I said. I don't want to sound colorist, but sometimes light skinned women and water is like oil and water.
No, but it's different out there though. Like, cause you don't have no choice but to get wet out there, cause it rains every day.
Maybe that's why so many live out
Seattle.
There.
Yeah, that whole.
That's it why rained. So many live out there then.
Maybe. You get wet every day, like literally, like niggas. It was days you go outside.
God is good.
It's no clouds in the sky, but it's still water falling out the motherfucker.
God is good.
So you only visited Seattle.
Yeah, but I mean, a nigga stole my wife in Seattle, so fuck Seattle.
Wait, what?
A nigga stole my wife in Seattle.
Nice.
So fuck Seattle. I'm with whatever with them niggas. Fuck you niggas. All y'all. Fuck them niggas.
What's up, man?
But you know.
Landlord should have put you on an album then, nigga. Ain't nothing like her nigga on
that. I don't know. That motherfucker singing.
I fuck with Seattle, though,
man. I'm a motherfucker singing, nigga.
Ooh, your J shit?
Oh, my J. Oh, nigga. Ooh, by the rain, bitch.
Hey, I feel it, man. I feel it, man.
How long you stayed in Seattle?
It was a little less than a year, so it probably was about 10 months or something.
Oh, okay.
Oh, shit, man.
In and out. In and out of that thing. Yeah. Was you recording out there?
Hell no. Waited.
You hadn't even started really doing your thing?
No, I went out there. I wasn't even thinking about no music. I was out there just chilling. I got a job. I was chilling. Moved a couple of my partners there.
Nice.
And we was chilling, just out the way. And went to a club out there and some punk bitch ass niggas was mad that we had the Seattle whole party on, you know, fucking with us. And when we got outside, them niggas was outside waiting, and you know, some shit happened.
My homeboy right here just got whooped out by some vatos in Miami.
First off, I didn't get whooped at all. That is what's not gonna ever get.
Yeah, hey, it's alright. You got whooped out by 12 niggas, the Gasolina niggas. It's cool.
That nigga punched me hard, dog. A nigga punched me hard. I whooped their ass though. The nigga did punch me hard. We got jumped like fuck.
Why? I didn't know they got Gasolina. You get whooped out by one of them niggas. You can't come.
They
back
were dark though. They probably like dark Cubans or something. You know, Miami don't really got like niggas. They got like.
This nigga live in Miami?
Uh-huh. Bro, they like Haitians and. Like, they speak a whole other language. Like, they look like us.
Oh, they speak that patois?
I don't know what the fuck they speak.
Nigga, what the fuck? Pitbull, fam.
They look like us, but they not
some
us.
Cubans or some Haitians. It ain't really like
it them. Ain't really, yeah.
It's cool, man.
They look like
hey, man, you don't get. Hey, man, it's not every day you get whooped out by Pitbull, man. Like 12 of them. Shit, you feel me? So when I heard you, I heard you in a group, and peace to that brother, you know. Shout out to Growth.
Yeah, 4 months.
I wasn't going to drop it because I think he was bigger than that at that time. Take it how you will.
What you mean? But what?
And maybe because I held you at that time in such a high regard.
What happened? What you talking
about? It was like. I'm trying to give an example. It was like when you heard Mac Main on Wayne tracks.
Man, your ass.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why I didn't want to say no names, but you know, thank God for Growth. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what that brother doing now, but that's. That's what I heard. So that's when I was like, oh, this, you know what I mean, this nigga's really, he can really spit. So I was like, oh shit.
Right.
So When did he become I'm just rapping? Cause I know during that era Everybody wanted to be Wayne or Cassie. Everybody. So when did it become I'm just rapping to I'm pretty good at this shit, let me do something with it?
I think Shit, after my first mixtape, I found a love for just making music where I felt like it was something I was going to do for a long time. The first mixtape that I dropped the DVD with it, but yeah. I knew early on, though, for sure.
Is that outside? That was when you was outside of
Sight and Sound. Yeah.
Is it the process or is it all of it? Like, because I guess I equate it to like basketball, like something like you see a Kyrie Irving, like he loves playing basketball, but he don't love everything. He don't love the business of basketball.
For sure.
And or somebody like her, somebody that like to make music but don't necessarily love the music business.
I probably been through every one of those stages, you know, where I was in love with the music and the business, everything that came with it, and then, you know, it started getting a little different as you be in the industry for a while. It started being like you kind of lose the interest in some of the stuff that you had interest in early on, for sure. Okay. Yeah.
So how do you continue pushing? And a lot of niggas that I've come across, not just on a local level, but on mainstream now, we've seen the industry jades them. Mm-hmm. They get so jaded to the point to where either they quit or the music isn't good anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's like fuck it. So how do you stop yourself from approaching those levels?
Well, I kind of think once I transition to making conscious music and music about my everyday life, I figure that'll live forever. Yeah. You know, people kind of get boxed out when they rapping about unnecessary stuff. Mm. You know what I mean? And the stuff, I mean, like I said, I'm rapping about everyday life. So I feel like everything that I'm going through is always going to mean something to somebody, whether I'm 50, 60 years old. You know what I mean? I'm rapping about stuff that you see happening outside your door, for sure. And the feeling it give me, you know, and my peoples, you know, I got a lot of people around me that keep pushing me, and then the people who support me, my core, they keep me going. So yeah, that's kind of how I just keep pushing. I find a new love in it every year, you know, just for something about the music game. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you where you feel like are you at a place where you're satisfied? Like, do you feel like where you're at, whatever level you feel like you're at, do you feel like you're satisfied where you're at?
Nah, not really. I'm actually I'm pushing to elevate every day. You know, I feel like it's a marathon, though. I'm running at my pace. I'm just not trying to, like, do no goofy shit and jump off the rim to try to get some clout and try to, you know, take the elevator to get there. I'm going to take the stairs. I get there, you know, I'm just moving at my pace.
Have you ever thought about it?
Thought about what?
Doing something out of your realm of comfort.
Mm-mm. Never. I mean, I think everything I just got big principles when it comes to what I do for anything, you know, any kind of clout or attention or anything. Nah, I ain't doing that.
So I ask because I think at this point in society, not even just hip hop itself, we have a big problem with ageism, right? And unfortunately, a rapper in his 30s
for sure
is looked at like Kobe after he blew his Achilles, unfortunately.
For sure.
So with all the up and coming rappers, especially here in the city, have you started to have thoughts about maybe I'm becoming too old, or am I has been? And if not, how do you not even think about it?
I mean, I kind of feel like until I really enter the industry, my years that ain't really started yet. This is like, you know, I'm still kind of like new to the world. So I kind of feel like, you know, me introducing myself to Vegas is probably old. But once, you know, it's my base, my core base grow, it'll be new to everybody. That's kind of how I look at it. My fan base kind of grow every year, you know, and that's all I'm really worried about. Long as it's going up and up, I'm gonna keep doing it.
That's what's up.
Is there like a target date where, like, okay, not necessarily a specific date, but just say if I'm not at this level by this date, maybe I need to
Maybe a couple of years, man. I mean, I honestly, I feel like if I can't make at least $250,000 a year off music in a couple of years, then yeah, it's gonna take the back seat for sure.
Is there like a contingency plan?
As far as what you mean,
if you get to this, say you get to this date, then you say, okay, I'm not making $250,000. Like this is what I have lined up, or this is what I'm gonna do.
I feel like my brain and my skill just to music, just about music and judging music, period. I feel like I'm gonna still be around music. I'm just not gonna be in the front of music, you know.
Okay.
What I mean? I'm gonna
still
deal with some artists that I feel like talented and help people brand they self, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
For our sake, I hope you never stop.
Sure.
And I say this because of all the artists I've heard, and I don't want to box you into the, you know, to the city, but
for
we
sure.
You know, we from here.
Right.
Sure.
Of all the music I've heard, you still may be the only one that you can hear the pain, you can hear the soul, you can hear how you feel through your music. A lot of these niggas is just making music. And I wouldn't want the city to miss that. That is a hole that I don't know if we can bounce back from, especially from the shit I'm hearing. You know what I'm saying? Not to downplay anybody making music in the city, you know what I mean? But it would be unfortunate if
I feel like
that was replaced.
I'm opening up a lane for that though. I think a lot of people are starting to like feel okay to open up about how they really feel about shit and the shit that they've been through. I know for a while it was like unheard of, but I see more up and coming artists kind of doing it now. So you know, long as, like I said, I feel like music is supposed to move people. So you know, if you're afraid to really say that you emotional about something that's bothering you, and that's what, if music is what you're doing every day, how don't it come out in the music? You know, that's the the best time.
So with doing that, like you said, it is a lot of artists starting to do it, but like even industry wise, you still do it like with the rap instead of
sure.
You're not trying to be the singer. You're not trying to
You're
not trying to copy other styles. You're still doing you.
100.
And I think that's what makes it different.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't hear the people giving themselves while rapping.
Rapping it, yeah, that's 100.
Now, why on a consumer level, I enjoy your music.
Appreciate it.
But for your psyche, right? And I'm not speaking for you. I'm just saying if I was in your shoes, I don't know if I would be able to put as much pen to paper as you have been doing. Yeah. And why I say that, because both of us went to Cheyenne.
For sure.
And unfortunately, you know, piece of those we lost, not even in your circle, but just going to Cheyenne in general, there are so many that we went to school with. There were so many in our classroom that aren't here no more.
For sure.
And my question to you is, although it sounds good, although the music sounds good, has death become all too familiar to you?
What you mean?
When I hear the landlord's music, I hear the grind. I hear the pain.
For sure.
I hear the tears.
For sure.
But I don't hear happiness at our age. And as young black men, things like this are what comes back to kill us internally. And how much longer can you sustain that? And I applaud you for being able to for this long.
For sure. I don't, you know, I can't really say. You know, I'm gonna just do it as long as I can. I don't know how long it's gonna become too overwhelming, or if it is, you know.
Do you struggle with it?
With what?
The loss.
Yeah, of course. You know, I'm human. You know, the older I get, I kind of grow closer to my family and the people that I love most. I start loving them even more, and now I got a son, so. You know, losing somebody is kind of, you take it kind of harder now, you know, because it's so much different than when you're a kid. You got no worries and no, you know, you don't really care about a lot of stuff just because you don't know the value of life. Mm. And once you learn all of that, it's just kind of, it's overwhelming a little bit, but it ain't nothing nobody else ain't going through, though, for sure.
So it's relatable.
Yeah, for sure, you know. I mean, it's people taking it harder than me, or some people that's not taking it hard at all. I just kind of like put it in my music. I think that the way I paint pictures, people just enjoy that. But my struggles ain't no different than the average person, you know, that came up in the same environments as me.
Facts.
I think the difference is that you know, therapy has been a big thing for us as men.
Yes.
Lately.
Yeah.
But in all hindsight, you're actually talking to yourself.
Yeah.
When you're putting that pen to that paper. And is it often that you have to sit back and, because even with, when I listen to your music, you know, we do know a lot of the same people. Especially being, you know,
for sure,
the organization we was in,
right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So even when I'm listening to your music, when you hear names, you got to pause for a minute.
Yeah.
Like, damn. Cause you know, life goes so fast. You sometimes you forget.
Right.
And I can't even say it's a question, but I genuinely applaud you for being able to do that on a consistent basis, yeah, and not just fucking go batshit crazy, man. Because that shit is,
for sure.
You know, we hold that shit in. I know I do. Absolutely. I hold a lot of the pain in.
I think when I hear it, as far as in landlord music, like I don't be knowing all the names. But it just, like, I probably heard the name, but I don't know the people personally.
Yeah.
So it gives me more of a personal, like, I feel like I'm more personal with the person now. Like, I didn't know Cap, of like my family and all them did, but I didn't personally know.
Yeah, piece of Cap.
Yeah.
But when I hear, like, Dear Cap, I play that shit all the time. So when I hear certain songs, it's like, and compared to others that rap in the city, right?
For sure.
That do they... Dead homies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That song makes it more personal. I've heard other people do songs to they dead homies and it sound like you just made a record.
For sure.
So I think that stands out. So what you going through with the losses, putting in your music, and then, you know, your son also rap with you.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the feeling when you with him doing music?
I mean, it's fun. He the new school type rapper, so it's just it's fun to watch, just to be living in his generation, you know, but also trying to lead mine too. It's pretty dope.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh no, because like Spence said, you know, your music sounds sad, and then when you listen to
not sad, but you can.
Yeah, it sounds.
You like, just get a glimpse
of. You don't hear the happiness in there, but then when you hear the songs. When you hear Mood Swings, you hear the happiness in your son's voice. Like, I'm on the mic with my dad, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you hear
the
happiness, and then when you watch the video, you see, like, you see the, this makes it worth it.
For sure. You
know? Yeah, How do you balance it? I'm going to lighten it up, man, but these was just, you know, just listen to your music. How do you balance it?
Man.
Someone who goes through what you go through.
Right.
Or what you've been through. I think with me, myself, and us in here, I think I struggle a lot balancing spending time with him.
Mm-hmm.
And being careful within that time, putting all my thoughts, my burdens. All right, man, we are back, man. We, for a minute, man, we thought, you know what I'm saying, Narcos niggas was finna come in here through the ceiling and shit, you know what I'm saying? I ain't know what the fuck is going on. Well, we back, man. So where were we, man? You know, my brother here, he got the Kaepernick shirt on and shit.
There you go.
I'm just gonna call it a Nick, because that's the Nick shirt.
That's what's up.
So is it a different your son makes music.
Yeah.
How's that experience?
It's fun. It's fun to watch, you know. It's fun to watch for sure. He take it serious, so it's fun to watch just to see him trying to perfect something he don't really know much about. It's
fun. How do you stop yourself from putting your artist ears on it?
No, I mean, I do. I try to. I mean, if it don't sound right, I tell him. You know, I let him do him, but I ain't going to let him, you know, record no BS. So, yeah, I do. I try to make sure it sound right.
So, he have his own music, man?
He got a couple songs. He trying to come up with a whole tape, man, so he trying to put it together.
Has it changed our relationship any? Like, as far as like how y'all spend time or like what he wants to do?
Nah, man. I'm with my son a lot already, so it's just that just give us something else to do.
Yeah. Okay. Shout out to my son. I hope he don't never start.
Yes, okay, rap.
Man, that nigga listen to NBA YoungBoy all day. So I know what I would already be. I already know the type of music that he be trying to make. Like, man, so if you don't cut that bitch ass shit off.
And every time he say that shit, I'm like, my nigga, you is not from nobody trenches. You is not. You go to Cimarron, my nigga. Be relaxed. You go to Cimarron.
Hey, he from the relax. Trenches, man.
My nigga, you go to Cimarron. Relax. That's not.
So you sound like Rod Wave.
He love Rod Wave. That's his goal
as long
right
as he
now.
He don't start eating with him. He all right. You know what I'm saying? Niggas take that, you know, start eating like them and.
Nah, he be alright. You know, I don't think he have no desire to do none of this.
A parent of a nigga that's taking down stages, you feel me?
Nah, I disown him. I'd be like, who? My name ain't your birth certificate, nigga. I ain't your daddy.
Oh my god! What?
Talk to the other nigga who name on that birth certificate. I don't know you.
That's deep.
Nah, man, don't embarrass me. I'm working hard to make sure the family name is good. Don't embarrass me like that. We good.
Nice. This nigga is an ignorant motherfucker, man. So, when you had your son, how did your approach, not just your music, but life in general, how did that change?
A 360. You know, I started living for somebody other than myself. I kind of made it an obligation of mine to make sure I'm here through his whole journey. So I had to start moving 100% different than the way I was moving, for sure.
When you talk about, so before we were talking about your music and not having any happiness in it and the loss you put inside your music. Like, how often do you go back and listen to these songs when you lose people or you put all this pain into these songs? How often do you go back and listen?
I don't really.
So you just
like that Dear Cap, I probably heard like two or three times, maybe, and out like since it's been out.
Yeah,
it's been out for years.
Do it make you feel the kind of way the times you have heard it?
Yeah, for sure. I actually like a lot of my music. Because I go in there and I kind of like record how I'm feeling at the time or how I probably was feeling the day before. Any, you know, and after that, I'd be in a different place a week later. So a lot of them songs, I don't go back to them at all. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I am as far, you know, when we approach this show, you know, we are, I would say with comedy podcasts here and there, but we have some where we, you know what I'm saying, sometimes it's some tears, you know, except this nigga right here, you know what I'm saying, but I can't ever go back and
yeah.
I'll listen to the ignorant shit all day, but I can't go back and hear, you know, pain coming out of my voice. I can't do it. Now, I don't even want to get into this conversation, but we're going to get into it. Do you understand how important you are to the city as it stands?
Yeah, I do. I should do.
Now, have you shouldered the responsibility to, quote-unquote, put Vegas on?
For sure. For sure. I mean, it's a lot of people doing it. I just kind of feel like hopefully it's the right person. You know, anybody can bust it open, and I just hope it's somebody that can speak from, you know, Vegas experiences from a kid on up, you know, not just an adult on up, you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of carry that because Vegas is kind of all ever known. So, yeah, so I'm hoping I can be the one to narrate it. Of course, everybody else kind of been here too, but I stood through a lot of the shit that happened in my year, so I kind of think
now I carry that. You out here doing... You know, you out here doing your thing. You know what I'm saying? I see the selfies and shit. I ain't gonna steal none, but you know what I'm saying?
I ain't taking those selfies.
You know what I'm saying? I be seeing, you know what I mean? I see in the picture, so I see, you know, you be all over the place and
shit. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But why do you feel like the city has yet to kick that door in?
I mean, Vegas is just we don't got the support of the city. You know what I mean? We just don't have it. It's a lot of outlets that you need to be able to like turn the whole city up, and we don't got them outlets out here.
Like
so,
what?
I mean, you know, the clubs is probably paying artists $100,000 to perform, you know, shit like that. They ain't gonna pay us $100 to perform, and them people, them could constant crowd, 20,000 people in these clubs. Yeah. You know, they could have easily threw an alley oop to a local act when you got a Meek Mill coming out here. You know, You know, we don't got that. We don't got that.
Cause I know in like the South, a lot of their music break in like the strip clubs.
Yeah, for sure.
Do we need that kind of avenue as well?
That too, but our strip clubs ain't gonna play our music, and if they do, you might gotta pay them or. You might got to know the DJ to play it one time that night. It just ain't going to ever be in heavy rotation, you know what I mean?
Okay. Fuck it, I'm going to ask it. Floyd has a strip club.
For sure.
Why has nobody approached him to try to...
I think the culture, the Vegas culture, he going to run his club like the other strip clubs, you know what I mean? Ain't nobody out here trying to take no chance with no hip hop because shit getting shut down, you know what I mean? So Okay. Everybody kind of like riding that whole the Vegas culture. You gotta play some techno and do all of that shit, you know.
But you having a personal, my fault, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah.
But you having a personal relationship with Floyd.
He'll play it. If I slide up in there, he'll play it, you know. But like I said, that ain't going to do nothing. We need all the clubs playing it, and we need them playing it consistently, not just, you know, one time. If I go in there, they going to play a lot of my shit. But I need them to play it when I'm not in there.
Mm-hmm.
When they got all, you know, New Year's Eve with all the celebrities there.
Okay,
shit,
that makes sense. Okay.
Lil James. He be fucking with Lil James, yeah. Lil James Hart.
Every now and then you'll see that.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Do you think, again, because I know you have a personal relationship, do you think if you approach them with this idea, like, we need you to kind of be the first to, like, start breaking Vegas music in this environment, do you think he would be receptive to it?
Bro, I was signed for 5 years. I was fucking with Floyd for 5 years on some music shit. I done told him everything you can possibly tell somebody. For sure.
Okay.
I mean, he ain't going to listen to me now after. I mean, I wouldn't even want him to listen to me now, you know, because I was giving that advice when I was a part of that. It don't matter now.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Hey, man, it's hard to talk to a nigga that weird. Thigh high Gucci boots about hip hop, fam.
Floyd a cool dude though. Like outside of our business venture, yeah. like, we straight. Like, dude 100 when it come to that. That was just really, like, me looking for alley-oop on a business level, and not because I went to him, he came to me. But it didn't go that way. But we still cool on, like, a homie level. That's my dog, for sure.
Okay.
That's what's up, man. The question is asked a lot, right? And so I sat back and I really thought about it, especially when we had the brother Stacey G in here.
Yeah.
Right? About why Vegas hasn't been able to kick in the door.
Right.
Right? The eras that I think right now will be the best time. But even when he was out, 98, what was it, 98 when he was out?
Yeah.
It was damn near impossible. You know what was out then? It's like the competition. So when the music is so good, we talking about the you know, 97, 98, the DMXs, the Outkast, the
Jay-Z's.
But when the music is so big, it's hard to be like, okay, let me check on Vegas, especially when the music scene is so regional. You know what I'm saying? So, for instance, do you think now, because I see you go back and forth between here and the South a lot. Mm-hmm. Do you think now, because the South has had a lock on hip hop for so long, the door has been blown open there.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to put a Southern artist on now because the floodgates has been open.
For sure.
And I think with Vegas, it just ain't.
It's just not the culture, bro. It just ain't the culture. That's why I encourage a lot of artists that's coming out the city to make a move. I mean, we only can do so much in this city. Like, we telling Vegas people about Vegas, that's not going to get us nowhere. You got to go outside. Tell the people in Arizona about Vegas. Slide to the South. Tell them about Vegas. Even if you're telling five people, you know what I mean? Sitting out here telling the same people about what they already know just ain't going to get us nowhere.
And why do you think that responsibility is just put solely on rappers to put the city on? You don't never hear that with nothing else.
Music is just the most powerful thing in the world. That's all. It's the easiest way.
Mm.
You feel me? You can go online and tell 10 million people about Vegas just with a click of a button type shit. You know, it's easier.
Yeah,
for sure.
We have it rock and roll. We have it in every other thing. We just don't have it in hip hop.
Mm.
But I think, like Landlord is saying, it has to do with the city.
For sure.
When you go down south, they do. They got this club, that club.
And the people. Yeah. The people demanding, you know, down south, the people is demanding these artists. You know what I mean? We are the people out here, they rather, you know, somebody from California come down and perform. But in these other cities, they demanding that they artists, we want to see what's name perform. And these clubs is booking them. You know what I mean? Because the people want to see them. Our people ain't really trying to pay for their own perform. You know, they want to pay somebody else to come down here and perform.
That's unfortunate, man.
I see. So for me, from my perspective of the Las Vegas hip-hop scene or whatever, I think for me, the large part of the problem is I call it homeboy music. I think a lot of the artists are making music only for their homeboys. They're not making music for everybody. I'm making music for the dudes from my set.
For sure.
However many people it is. So to me, that's one of the bigger issues. I could definitely see infrastructure, not having the hip-hop infrastructure, or just music business in general, not having the infrastructure being a huge problem. But for me, I think that's the issue I always see. Like, okay, this is cool, but it's cool to everybody you grew up with.
Yeah.
You know, and the chicks you trying to impress, but like niggas from two blocks over, they're not gonna rock with it.
For sure.
You not see that everywhere though?
Nah. From I'm
about Bleak for like 10 years.
I'm not everywhere. So I can't, you know, and you know
I'm just saying, like, with the other artists that comes up, they do the same thing. So it has to be something else.
What do you mean when they do the same thing? What you mean?
Nah, they telling a lot of the same story. You just gotta get out of it. You just gotta move around and tell that story. It ain't really the story. They rap, like, people are buying into whatever, you know, if it's real, but you just gotta tell that story somewhere else. You gotta, like I said, you gotta find a core outside of Las Vegas. That's it.
So from your experience, like, what are all the things you would need in the city to build an infrastructure to where we can support our own?
These people, no, it ain't the supporters. We don't have the, like I said, the higher ups. They not gonna let us get that big before they, you know, like I said, you throw, I mean all my shows right now, I could throw a show and it'll sell out for sure with no problem. But is they gonna let it happen? We don't know. We don't got nowhere to say this show is happening tonight. If we need police, we gonna bring them. You know, these shows down south, they probably a lot worse than Vegas, but they still doing the show, having a couple police there, and it going about his business. But they fighting against hip hop out here, so you feel me?
It's a fact. Mm-hmm.
It's more based on our city. I think right now, like Spence said, the support is starting to be more supportive, so we starting to get there. But I think like our city.
It's only so big we can get, like, even performing, like, it's a couple spots that they'll let you perform. It's just, how long is that? You know, that ain't enough. That ain't gonna get us. You know, we want to get, you know, we're trying to get to the strip. You feel me? We can't do nothing. And then these shows ain't, like, off the strip. They ain't 100%. They ain't giving us no real live, like, layout on making sure our people get in the show and out the show safe, you feel me? So in Vegas, like, I go perform somewhere else for, you know, cheaper than what I perform in Vegas for, because it come with so much, you know?
Like what?
Like I said, you know, all my real enemies is here, you know? Like, okay. Niggas that don't like me, like my peoples, like, they here. So if we gonna pop out somewhere with our name on the flyer, with my name on the flyer saying I'm about to be somewhere, like, it got to be worth it. I ain't coming to no venues just to come. You know what I mean? It got to be worth it, for sure.
So is it so
just because I can't gain as much as I, you know, I done did everything. You know what I mean? I can't gain nothing. So it got to really mean something for me to put my people at risk. You know, if I go to somewhere else, I perform for 500. It don't even matter the shit. I just want to touch some new fans, you know, because that's going to turn into some streams for me, downloads. But in Vegas, like I said, it got to make sense, especially when I know you're paying somebody from California.
So is that the right, really the issue? Like, we can't get to the strip because we can't guarantee the people inside the casino safety,
right,
if we have so-and-so perform.
They can. Shit, you know, all these artists, Meek Mill, he rap about it, all the same shit. And he can perform in Jersey. I make sure it's safe.
But Meek is from Philly. Like, a nigga ain't jumping on the plane to go shoot Meek in Vegas.
Yeah, but I'm saying the safety is gonna be there. If you let a nigga perform in Dre's, there's no way in the world the same precaution. You gonna have the Metro there. It's the same shit. It's the same shit. And you gonna get people to come. This is what these people don't understand. You're gonna get people to come. It's gonna be people there, like, from the city that's gonna come support these artists. You just got, they ain't willing to take no chance with no locals at all.
So is that the start, like a venue that'll actually give a Vegas artist?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay,
for sure. It won't even cost nothing. You already, like I said, you got the people. You already got the big artists. It's just
give us a night.
Yeah, give us. You know,
so as night, consumers, what can we do? What could we do? Say we the people. We the people right here. What can we do to help the landlord further?
If y'all don't know the higher-ups, it ain't going to, like I said, if you don't know them on a personal level, it's going to be, and like, I'm not complaining about my place in Vegas because I love it. You know, I'm big out here, but I know it's only so big I can get. That's the only thing. I'm just aware that it's only so many things I can do at this point to get bigger in Las Vegas. You feel me? So everything that I do is straight out of love for my city. But as far as thinking that I got to do something else in Vegas to get big, it ain't going to happen. It ain't even nothing that's on my mind. I'm trying to get big somewhere else.
So do you feel like, as far as Las Vegas goes, you've reached your pinnacle? Like,
yeah, of course. I done did it all. I done seen it all. And like I said, I'm still, I feel like in my prime. So it ain't like Vegas. Like I said, I love it. I do everything that I do in Vegas just for the love. But I'm not really here trying to get another buzz or try to, like,
yeah.
No.
You, what's your relationship with other artists out here in the city?
It's love. Everybody that's doing music that I done heard, or even if I know them, you know, yeah. It's all love. I ain't got no artists out here that I got a personal issue with or an issue with their music at all, you know. I mean, everybody got something that they might be missing that can make them better, but I love all the music coming out of Vegas.
You got a lot of artists to reach out to, too.
Hmm?
You have a lot of artists that reach out to that want a landlord feature.
Yeah. Vegas, so. Yeah, I mean, whoever, you know, if they reach out, it's love. I'm willing to work with all Vegas artists, for real. Yeah.
Is there any particular artist that you might have your eye on? Like, he might be the one?
Man, all of them. I'm going to keep it 100. Everybody. Anybody who, you know, fucking around that's actually doing something with this shit. Yeah, they serious about that shit. Hit me up. It's love.
Okay. Who would y'all like to see Landlord do a song with? You already heard it?
Yeah, the one I wanted to do a song with, they already did it. So...
Who that? I
wouldn't mind. Remember that the song, the song with Miles and T-Rap.
Oh yeah.
I would not mind hearing a Landlord verse on that. Hey man, you gotta do what you gotta do. But I wouldn't mind because it. I just wouldn't mind, man. You just no hook, just bar. Just bars.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, because your energy is different than most of the artists I could think of off the top of my head.
Is it the song you talking about? Is it released? Why are you thinking about it?
It's not, but it's
going to
be out soon.
I'm going
to play it. I think the video.
They youngsters. One of them went to school with us. T-Rab, have you heard of them?
Uh-uh.
Maybe a
Ty Herbo. Neutron? Huh?
Let's call him Jimmy Neutron.
Jimmy Neutron, yeah. Have you ever done a song with Mr. Finley?
I can't hear you.
You ever did a song with Mr. Finley?
Yeah, we got a couple joints together.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's not too many people that I don't know if you have around that I would
want
to
hear.
Yeah, yeah.
It's right here, man. I would love to hear him on this, man.
Yo,
shout out to the brother Miles, man.
Look, my G's don't pay you attention, don't even pay the admission. Look how my keys don't go in ignitions, boy, that's very expensive. I go on the sprees and buy up your wishlist, bank overseas, no interest. You niggas is very pretentious, I'm aiming to bury my headless. My nigga don't rap with me, don't try
now
to
hop on
the
track
with me. Don't try to pull up stats for me,
cause
them IG hits ain't facts to me. Testing the god is blasphemy, peeping niggas wasn't playing fair.
You couldn't hear yourself on it?
That's how you level the playing field, don't take it there, I'm too surgical with it. Don't worry,
I think Friends by Miles Lowe, I would like to hear him on that. Friends, I would like, I think you would fit. I think that would be a good look.
Abortion is the only way out. This Chucky playhouse, the mirrors show a different side of me. I had to break out. You shorty in the corner, I am me. She trying to make out. I take
the youngster, come on, it's bad.
But let me get rap, man.
Man, low outside your crib like it's a stakeout. Chopsticks on my lap like I'm enjoying Chinese takeout. But this don't pick up rice, it pick a life and knock his heart out. Left my lyrics on the note, so he went out like Junior Seau.
Shout out to rap.
These rappers selling gimmicks and paying for play now. Inflation on the numbers, heard the joints you recreate, clown. How you steal another nigga's style and still lie on the sales? That's like selling fake work and still juicing the scales. With this pen I create and destroy.
I man. My brother with the youngsters.
I say friend.
He was a freshman when we was in school.
T-Rap.
Mm-hmm.
I was just
gonna
say, did he go to Cheyenne?
Yeah, he was a Silver Mesa kid.
Mm.
Yeah, we gotta make that happen, man.
Miles.
or Jimmy Neutron?
Yeah, Herbo hard. I fuck with Herbo shit.
And I also feel like I don't like saying this shit on the mic, but I think you would do very well in a tiny desk environment.
Most of them.
What?
You know,
you wouldn't think so?
What's that? I'm saying, huh?
You know, with a loud band behind you.
Oh yeah.
Okay,
that's it.
For sure.
And we. Mm-hmm. I was just gonna say it's a band behind you in the video.
Yep.
Is they actually playing or?
They was playing in the video, but they ain't gonna be playing in the actual video because the video is a music video.
Yeah.
But they was playing there, you know, and I was actually performing it. But when it come out, it's gonna be a music video though. Yeah.
Hey, tell Lonnie.
Yeah,
Lonnie, we need the raw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lonnie know how to do it, man.
Yeah, it was hard just to perform it, actually perform it live. And I actually, the video just, it came from an idea like that I wanted to do. Like, really, I really wanted, but I want to actually set up a stage and, you know, get it clear through the city where I can actually do a show with about 40 people and actually not, like, you know, invite it, you know, sell tickets and let people come out there and, you know, just perform over there in my neighborhood. And that, the video kind of came from that idea though.
So a block party kind of situation.
Yeah, for sure, but not open to everybody. It's kind of like I want to kind of like make it intimate, like a real small crowd, but, you know,
Whatever, some real fans. Whatever views can do to help put that together, man.
For sure.
I can back that wholeheartedly. That would be dope.
Yeah, I think it'd be hard with the live band though, for sure.
We know some guys that can put on a pretty nice live show. So we know some people.
Yeah, for sure.
We can make that happen.
We can make that happen.
Yeah. We sure can. Okay. Man,
So what's next?
We talking about business now, man.
That's off mic, man. That's off mic.
What y'all got anything else, man?
So what, like, what's next? Like, what's the next thing? What's next for you?
Man, I'm ready to just get back on this road, man. I'm about to drop my album, Far From Perfect, in probably the next 2 or 3 weeks, no more than 3 weeks. After that, I'm just ready to reach out, get out and touch the people.
Did the COVID situation hurt
you
a lot?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, not to the point where I'm like, you know, fucked up, but it kind of put a damper on a lot of shit. Hell yeah. It just paused my life, you know, like it did everybody else. That's it.
Okay, so like, being around constantly and rubbing elbows and being in the industry with guys who have a bigger platform than you may have. Right. Does it motivate you?
For sure. I mean, I think that's the best way to learn. That's why I feel like being a father is so important, just to be able to watch somebody go through what you're trying to go through and to give you the ins and outs on how to do it. You learn from their mistakes damn near, you know, when you just watching them do their shit, you know, and now when I double back and do my own shit, I just know, you know, the precautionary steps it take to, you know, for it to come out a little bit better than my first time. Yeah.
Do you ever maybe get jaded? Like, I was just where this nigga was at, now he's, and I'm not. Like,
nah, what you mean?
Like, do you ever feel like, okay, well, because I know I was looking through your Instagram and I'm like, okay, this is, you had a video we used at South by Southwest.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is like, it's right before the baby blew up.
Oh, yeah. Nah, me and my partners and my peoples, we tweak over that all the time, but it really just be motivation. I just be feeling like, you know, that just make me feel like it's just, you know, we one step away.
You feel like you right there?
I mean, because a lot of them, you know, I rub elbows with a lot of the up and comers, you know, but, you know, they from a different demographic than me, you know, so it's a little bit easier for them. But yeah, it's motivation though.
When you leave a city and go to other places, before people listen to your music, before they hear the music, do they take you seriously because you're from Vegas?
As far as what, like?
So when I went to this, I went to Houston a couple weeks ago, right? And when people found out that I was from Vegas, it was like, what casino are you working in?
Oh yeah,
like they put you on this pedestal, and it's like, nigga, I'm just like you. I just don't like, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, the way I move when I leave the city, when I move, they can kind of tell what type of nigga I am. I don't kind of move like no goofy. When we out of town, we kind of like stand on our business. You know what okay. I mean? So if they do think of Vegas, if anything, they'll look at me and realize that, oh yeah, it's some other shit going on in Vegas. Okay. You feel me? Because yeah, we don't move like no tourists or nothing. Nah.
Yeah.
What's being from Vegas? Because everybody's perception of Vegas is different than the reality. So for like, sure. What's the wildest shit somebody's ever asked you, like when they heard you was from Vegas?
That shit, like, don't before you, listening you, you to live in the casinos. That's one of the, like, they ask that, like, you live on, like, where you live at? Is it a neighbor? Like, is it regular houses out there? You know, a lot of people be asking that shit for sure. That's why I feel I love making music from that point of view. Like, why I'm trying to introduce something that nobody know, yeah. Type shit, you know. And I think it probably, I probably had less to talk about if I came out of a city that was already popular for explaining what kind of city it was. But I feel like I get to, you know, introduce our city, you know, outside of the strip to people, you know, because it's only so many of the artists that can tell the real story outside that strip, for sure.
Dale
Hickey
kind of tough.
Yeah, yes, my dog.
Y'all got a project or anything coming?
That's the plan, actually. That's the plan. Mm. Like we kind of like was just going back and forth last night about we actually got somebody paid us for a feature, but they requested that we both be on the song together. So I just sent him my part of the song, and he was like, bro, we got to do this tape. You know, I'm going to come out there. You come out here. Let's lock in for like a week. So in the next probably 30 to 45 days, we should have something locked in and ready to go.
Okay. So who does the landlord want to work with?
Man, it's a bunch of niggas. Dirk, I fuck with Dirk, you know. Wayne still. I still want to fuck with Wayne.
2021 Wayne?
The nigga with the dreads falling off?
Man, it don't matter. It don't matter. You know, where I'm from, bro, we don't be like, feel me? Like, even if we got, in our neighborhood, we got niggas that was big dog status at one point. Yeah. Now they smokers, but we saluting them with that same respect. Like, it is what it is. We ain't, you know, ain't can't nothing take away from what you did, you know? Yeah. What well, you did for sure.
Wayne and sodas and shit, and I be like.
Yeah. I mean, shit, he got, you know, all these niggas doing that type of shit now. That shit done became some normal shit.
So Dirk, Wayne.
But I don't be connecting his personal life with his music, so I just.
Yeah, yeah, I feel you. I just, you know, growing up in, you know, during that time, we was, you know, when Wayne was that nigga back then, man. Yeah, for sure. You couldn't.
What was the last Wayne project you like really loved?
I mean, I fuck with all his remixes like to the core still, but probably like I'd say probably Quarter Four. Quarter Four was something I just kind of played a lot. For the longest, you know, for a longer time. The other ones I played, but they didn't sit on me for that long. But Quarter Four,
probably. Okay.
I wasn't mad at Five either.
I fuck with Five. It just, you know, at that point, I don't know. I guess the bigger he got, I kind of like I always was pushing people to like, man, y'all should fuck with Wayne, this nigga, and try to explain his bars to people. And then when he came, when the world kind of seen it, I kind of like fell back, like, all right. So I just kind of, I stopped like tuning in as much, just because I kind of felt like, all right, now he commercial. I'm going to, you know, try to find somebody else on the underground.
I tapped out at the two.
As you got at two? Into the
Yeah, for sure.
So, just being around that, like, at least I'm still, like,
well, not saying at least you still, you get to see that type of environment of seeing them kind of people that.
Yeah, I mean, I fuck with a lot of artists that kind of lived in some, like that's kind of lived through the historics of some of the industry shit, you know. I got a, and even him, like, the stories that he tell me about, you know, the Cash Money days, you know. So, I mean, I guess that's a blessing just to be able to hear about the history of the, you know, hip, some hip-hop history.
Okay, yeah. That's what's up.
I think, yeah, Carter Five. I think the first Sorry for the Wait was the last time I was like, oh my God, like, this nigga's spazzing. Carter 2?
That's it.
Carter 2, he ain't even in his prime yet. That's the best album, but he ain't even in his prime yet.
What's the best album?
Tag Me Out.
Carter 2 is the best album?
I think Carter 2 through and through is the best one. Carter 1 was when I was like, to me, that was when he went commercial. Meaning not the world found out about Wayne. Like, we knew all the SQ tapes, and, you know, we knew what he was doing on the mixtape scene, but when Carter 1 came, it was like, he made it.
I think Carter 2.
Carter 2 was when I was like,
yeah, I think Carter 2,
oh, this nigga's for real.
Carter 2 was commercial.
I think Carter 2 was commercial?
It wasn't even none of them was commercial.
None of them was commercial,
but they was pushed. They was promoted as like a, you know, a super commercial album. But his shit was, you
Carter
know, he still going
more,
crazy.
I think Carter 2 was more of like the commercial side. Of
yeah, it. Everybody was ready. You know, that's the ain't that he sold the million in a week on Carter 2. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it? Yeah. Everybody was kind of anticipating it from
Jay-Z
Carter 1.
That.
Yeah,
like,
but it wasn't a commercial album though.
No, Carter 1 wasn't. I think Carter 2
No, was. Carter 1 was. I mean, it was a commercial album. It was pushed as such.
2 or 1?
Cuz I was used to it went from mixtape Wayne to I know he got an album. Now he had 500 Degrees. He had, you know, Lights Out. He had those, but that was still like young Wayne. When Carter 1 came, it was like, "Oh shit, he got an album." Because we were so used to mixtape Wayne.
Carter 1 was his first track. I don't think it really blew up. Is when he was saying, best rapper alive since the best rapper in God. That was the first track he really did.
Talking about Carter 2 or Carter 1?
That was Carter 2.
That was Carter 2.
Carter 1. He said it the first time on Carter 1.
No, his first single off Carter 1 was Go DJ, I believe.
No, that was his second single.
I think Bring It Back was the first single off of.
Bring It Back was
the first single off of Carter 1.
And that's the first time he said Best Rapper Alive since Best Rapper Who Tied. He said at the end of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And then Carter 2 is when you start getting more commercial. Because Go DJ wasn't even like a commercial.
Go DJ wasn't what?
It wasn't really. The song? You listen to the song? Wayne don't rap about nothing that's on the hook. That nigga is just
rapping. Well, no, it's a remake. It's a remade song, man. The original song, it's a Manny Fresh song. But it was a ode to Manny Fresh, and so that's why he's rapping. The hook is old.
Well, what I'm saying.
So
is
he's Wayne rapping on it as a respect
Wayne
thing.
Wayne on the Carter 1 was just being Wayne, like he was just rapping. The Go DJ shit, he just raps.
Okay.
His verses is just like the mixtape type Wayne verses.
Okay.
Carter 2 had more structure in the music.
Choruses and shit.
Cohesion. Well, better, it was cohesive.
And you had Robin Thicke on the hook, so you definitely didn't win.
That was Carter 2, right?
That was Carter 2.
Yeah, Carter 1 wasn't like that. We just listened to Birdman, JR. That nigga don't got no hook or nothing. He just rapping.
I agree with you
a
there.
A lot of it was like that. It was no structure really in Carter 1, so I don't think Carter 1 was his commercial. It just, people just started recognizing.
I agree with that. Is that your favorite project? Is that your favorite Wayne?
Is that my favorite Wayne project?
Yeah. What's
God bless
that's,
that
man. That's a tough one, ain't it? What's your favorite Wayne project?
Two?
Yeah, I'll probably go with two.
That nigga said 500 Degrees.
Even one, really shit. One,
I definitely
two.
Wasn't expecting 500 Degrees.
I got one over Carter, over any Carter.
Yeah.
I got Carter one over any Carter.
Mm. I ain't mad at it. I think it's Lights Out for me.
Lights Out hard. See, I can listen to Lights Out still.
Boy,
just
I can put that motherfucker on.
Niggas dumb.
Yeah. And pray and let it go.
With Shine on it?
Boy, I love Shine.
Mm. Okay.
I love Shine. I'm not gonna let you say it bad mouth Shine. I love that shit. Boy, what? And Young Turk at the end? What?
Man, nigga? That was the hardest shit.
Come on, nigga, you bugging. Don't disrespect Shine.
Private jets about to land. The women fall out.
I ain't like Turk on no cat. I like Turk by himself.
You ain't like Turk on no cat?
That's why. Except, like, I need a high girl. But Turk by himself was, send me my nigga. You know what I mean? Boy, Turk by himself was that nigga, man.
Turk was my favorite. They was dimming
his light a little bit when.
Turk was my favorite hot boy.
Okay. So. You ain't never in life heard no shit like
Turk
that.
Turk is my favorite, nigga.
Really?
What?
Mm. Absolutely.
Alright. Okay. Alright, fellas, man. We got y'all anything else for you?
Nah, man. We appreciate you for coming through, man. Keep grinding, man. We need somebody from the city to put us on. Keep doing what you're doing, man. We need you. Vegas needs you, man. We appreciate you being part of the culture. We appreciate you being part of the history. I know your story's not done being told, so represent us right, man. We need you out here.
Man, that's 100. I appreciate y'all for having me, for real. For sure.
Skinny?
I ain't got too much motivation.
All right, man, it's your time, man. Talk to the people, man.
Y'all know what it is. It's the Landlord, man. Far From Perfect, dropping in about 3 weeks. Stay tuned. Instagram, Landlord702. Twitter, Landlord702. YouTube, The Landlord Online. Subscribe, all that.
All right, man. As always, man, you can follow the podcast pages on Twitter at Views from the 7, on Instagram at Views from the _7, and for the 3 of y'all that's still on Facebook, Views from the 7. All right, y'all, we up out of here. Peace.
Peace.